You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by OnTap Credit Union. They listen carefully to your needs and make sure you have the right services, low-cost loans, and expert financial advice for you, your business, and your employees. Whatever your needs may be, tap into the services at OnTap Credit Union. And now, The Porchcast. All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 58 of The Porchcast. We are broadcasting today from Gold Spot Brewing, here with head brewer, co-owner, Kalissa Heber. How's it going?
It's going good.
And we've got the full Porchcast team for the first time in 2019.
Gang's all here.
Hunter's kind of here.
I'm here.
Definitely. No, he's writing Slack messages. I see you.
71%
here. 71%
here.
Hey, so that's 71% better.
Oops, 72. Than, 72%.
Than having 0% hunters. Once again, this is Tristan Chan, joined by Sammy Hartman,
hello.
Sam Sly, and Hunter Grondin, my co-hosts. Episode 58 of The Porchcast here at Gold Spot Brewing. We are broadcasting just days before your all's fourth anniversary celebration.
That's true.
How does it feel, Kalissa?
Feels good. Yeah.
Now, you all have had a big year. We're going to jump right into that. I guess the first big news that we've got to talk about is this change in ownership. Tell us a little bit about how this all came about. You are now owner of Gold Spot Brewing. Before, you were just head brewer, correct?
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yep.
Tell us about how this all came about.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been here pretty much from the beginning, and I'd been trying to buy in for a while, and the old owners were ready to sell, so... You know, me and two other owners, Ryan and Winnie Du Bois, came part of the owners. We took over on July 15th.
And now you are the boss lady for reals.
Yes, that's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For those who aren't familiar, what is this neighborhood exactly of Denver?
Yeah, so we're in North Denver. We're Berkeley neighborhood, right off the Lowell Tennyson exit. Yeah, really close to downtown.
From Lakeside?
Yep, it's true. Denver's Sloan's Lake, very close.
Denver's sketchiest amusement park.
Yes, surprisingly still open.
Yes. And Gold Spot, you mentioned you've been with them since the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about your all's beer program.
Yeah, so, you know, we just expanded our taps to 16, which we're very excited about. You know, we really strive to have a nice, balanced menu. We have a few flagships, but we try to release a new beer about every week, and just keep it fresh, nice and balanced, use some fun ingredients, but balanced and approachable beers are what we're striving for.
Really awesome. And we're drinking some of that fantastic beer right now. I'm drinking a Cutter IPA, your all's house IPA. It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
I think in the sea of all these trendy new hop styles, it's really refreshing to try a classic, well-built, traditional American-style IPA, and I'm a big fan of this one.
I totally agree. Yeah, it's doing it for me right now, for sure. Like, just what I need. Kolsch is great, too.
Light and easy, not too sleazy.
Light and easy, not too sleazy.
That's Hunter's motto, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the first time we've all gathered together in 2019, so we definitely want to get to a number of different topics throughout the show. A lot of beer news to get to, but we also want to talk a little bit about what's been happening in our lives in general. But for those who are just tuning in, be sure to follow us on all of your listening devices, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Play, whatever you're listening to, be sure to give the Porchcast a little follow and a little love. Yeah, Kalissa, we are just, like I said, just a few days away from your all's fourth anniversary. A lot has changed for your brewery, just like any others throughout those 4 years. Tell us about some of that evolution and kind of what's what people have to look forward to for this weekend.
For sure. Mainly the awesome beers. We're releasing five new ones. So a rum barrel-aged red Hefeweizen, strawberry Brett IPA, maple brown, coconut porter, ooh, and a pineapple pale ale. So I've been working hard. You know, this neighborhood, we've loved it from the beginning. It's been a little slow to develop. We're just kind of trying to, you know, keep it steady, keep doing what we're doing. But we love our neighborhood, we love our regulars, and we're really just trying to rock it out for this.
Yeah, and I think the next couple months, you know, is going to start to pick up for this neighborhood. We've
for
already
sure.
heard of Flight Beer Company opening up down the street in Tennyson.
Yep.
I believe there's another one in the area as well that's about to open. joints Call to Arms and all of those right down the street. So
yeah, I think that Mother Tucker is opening a second location kind of over, kind of to the right of us, more like upper Lowell. And just this neighborhood could use a little bit more food. I think that's our biggest detriment. But yeah, it's, I mean, this neighborhood.
We can't forget Grateful Gnome, our friends down the street with their part deli, part brewery. Bess Doherty, we interviewed her earlier on and when they first opened. But yeah, this is becoming quite a little destination up here in North Denver. So very excited for this neighborhood. Now, you mentioned your array of beers that's going to be tapped this weekend. A lot of interesting styles. But, you know, as this brewery has evolved over time, and also for you in terms of ownership, what does ownership mean for you? And I guess, how do you want to kind of really put your stamp on this place moving forward?
You know, we've always tried to be very community-based. We've done a lot of charity work with it, and just really trying to make interesting beers with it. So we're kind of trying to push some of these things for the anniversary. Generally, the end of February can either be like abnormally warm or a blizzard. So we kind of just were like, well, let's just do a luau theme.
Love that.
So it's part of that.
I love that.
You know, I'm just really happy to actually be owning something that I felt that way about for a very long time. And I've always wanted, as soon as I started homebrewing, I wanted to be an owner. And I'm just really proud of what we're doing here. We finally hired some other staff. We got a salesperson, a taproom manager. It's like, we're a real brewery now. So that's pretty cool. Yep.
What's your background? How long have you been brewing? So you started home brewing and then rolled right into here?
So I from Ohio, went to Miami. Tristan and I did not know each other, but went at the same time. I started home brewing at 21 and really immediately knew this was like where I wanted to go. So I moved out here for...
Now, wait, did you start brewing while you were at Miami University?
I think so.
Man, we should have been friends.
I know, right?
I missed out.
Shoot. I know. I think you were too cool for me.
No, he wasn't.
He was not. He was a hall monitor. Yeah. What do you call your grown-up version?
I was an RA.
He was an RA.
I was definitely an RA.
Forever in perpetuity.
But he'll try to tell you he's a cool RA.
I do have to present a caveat. I did not write anyone up in my 3 years of being an RA.
Attended zero parties.
That is not true. That is not true.
It was one a year, right?
One RA party off campus.
Sparkling soda water. No, those freaking sparkling ciders is what it was.
All right, let's spend the next 30 minutes bashing on Tristan being an RA.
Okay, all right. No, but that's crazy that you were brewing back then. It's for those who are listening who aren't familiar, Kalissa actually started writing for Porch Drinking when we first kind of were introduced. So we've had our worlds intertwined for many years now, but it's really incredible to see what you've built in Gold Spot here, and it's awesome to see it all come to a head with your ownership.
It's been awesome. In the past year. You know, Ohio at the time when I moved about a little over 5 years ago, there was only about 12 breweries there, and I just, I always wanted to be professionally trained, so I moved out here, not realizing how many educational opportunities would open up here, but I just thought that there would be more chances to get professionally trained. I wanted an internship, and you know, within about 6 months of living here, the Regis program started their brewing program, which I did. I was working actually at their Starbucks, so I heard about it. First person to put in my application, I was like, yes, because awesome. I had a guaranteed internship. So cool. Now I'm one of the teachers for the program, which is cool. That guaranteed internship, practical training, and then everything just kind of fell into place. Yeah.
How did you get connected with Gold Spot to begin with?
So I was working at True. I did my internship there. I was their cellarman at the time, and I heard about Gold Spot. I started bartending, and then I just hounded the old head brewer until he eventually was like, I do need an assistant, you're right. And I was like, yeah, bitch, you do. Then I took his job about 6 months later, and ever since, I've been here.
And you murdered him.
Yes, and then I killed him.
I actually haven't seen him in a while.
No, Matt Hughes is great, and I love him. He's not dead.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
He's quite alive.
He's quite alive.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of traffic from Regis?
We do. That's awesome. Actually very lucky that Regis is what it is. There's a lot of post-grad programs there. The staff is great. A lot of staff actually live in the neighborhood. You know, we don't want too many undergraduates because, you know, they tip real shitty and they're like, ooh, $7 tens. So expensive.
Are you guys doing like former employee discounts this weekend, maybe? Like reaching out to people that might have worked here at some point.
Oh god, here we go.
Prior.
Oh, here we go.
You know, maybe
OU. Who doesn't pay? The person who already didn't
maybe
pay.
Maybe like
here.
Naming beer after somebody who worked here at one point.
Yeah, when Gold Spot just so graciously became Gold Spot discount.
Yes.
You will continue to drink for free is the answer to that. Yes.
Yes.
Cheers to that.
Hell yeah, cheers.
As long as you bring me a duplicate of that shirt.
I'll have to make it.
That's the manufacturer.
Where's Rumpelstiltskin?
That'll be a terrible shirt. I don't want that.
Nice Rumpelstiltskin reference over there.
Thank you very much. I am very educated.
Ooh, he's like 82%
very
here
cultured.
Now.
Very cultured. I grew up at the theater. Come on.
I like the idea of like a 100 participation meter throughout the show. I think we need to continue to update that each episode as we go.
This 100
14%.
30%. That was a solid 30.
Absolutely. Now, Calissa, so Kenan, we were talking about, you know, now that you have ownership, and do you foresee any big changes down the road? I mean, I think Gold Spot is always going to be kind of more focused on being a neighborhood brewery. Mm-hmm. But anything significant that you really want to put your own personal touch on that you haven't maybe gotten the chance to or maybe haven't had the resources to before and you're planning for down the road? I'd love to hear kind of how, you know, as in the evolution of a brewery, you know, you always consider multiple different factors of, you know, resource and, you know, neighborhood and just the type of brewery that you're striving to become as a brand. What's next in store for Gold Spot?
Yeah, you know, I think we have a bunch of things. I mean, the market is really tough right now, so a lot of it is just survive. Because we don't want to make any moves that would just be dumb, because a lot of really great breweries are probably going to close really, really soon.
Sure.
And we want to make sure that we don't make a bad move and become one of those. You know, one of my favorite breweries in the entire state is closing, and that's just, like, really bumming me out, you know. So we're just going to see more and more of those. We really want to trick out our patio. That's, like, one of our main goals. And, you know, just getting our name out there. You know, we've been open 4 years, and I think we have a pretty good industry reputation, but a lot of just common consumers don't know us. You know, we're trying to really hit kind of more the Arvada area, more the Tennyson area, like hit some of these things hard. And just, you know, you make your money in the taproom sales, and that's really where we're trying to drive that. We did just hire a salesman, and we're trying to, you know, really push some of our outside sales, really just to drive more people back in here, too.
Yep. Cool. That's a little work, yeah.
And, yeah, that's kind of the initial things that we're going for, trying to do some more events. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough world. We're just trying to stay to it.
Absolutely. Well, we've really enjoyed the beers that we've had here at Gold Spot thus far.
More guava IPA, please.
It'll come out the first day of spring.
Good, good, good.
Yeah. Oh, which is Wednesday, March
28th. Not in season.
Looked it up.
Wow, Sammy on top of the calendar over here.
Huh?
Yeah. We're gonna make sure you're our calendar person for the rest of the season.
If it's the only thing I can contribute, then I feel...
Not at all. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about some of the big stories happening in the industry. And we'll speak more with Calissa Heber here at Gold Spot Brewing in the Berkeley neighborhood of Denver, Colorado. Hang tight. This is The Porchcast, porchdrinking.com. Special thanks to our show sponsor, OnTap Credit Union. With locations in Golden and Arvada, OnTap Credit Union has supported brewery employees for over 64 years. They listen carefully to your needs and make sure you have the right services, low-cost loans, and expert financial advice for you, your business, and your employees. Whatever your needs may be, tap into the services at OnTap Credit Union. That's www.ontapcu.org. All right, and welcome back to episode 58 of the Porchcast. We just learned some very disturbing news that Hunter refers to himself as Daddy. So
only when it comes to drinking.
No, all of the time.
That
it
has
like.
Us all very disturbed. We're once again we're here at Gold Spot Brewing with Calissa Heber, and Calissa's also the founder of Make a Noise Project. Correct.
Co-founder. With Bess.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Make a Noise.
Yeah, so, you know, we started this around the election time. Not anti-Trump, just kind of pro-people. We wanted to make sure that we were starting a project that, you know, focused on pro-women's rights, LGBT, environmental things, people of color.
And social justice issues in general, right?
You know, I came from a professional organizing background before I started brewing, and I have always thought that those worlds could pretty easily intertwine. Who doesn't like to drink for a cause? It's a really, you know, these are community spaces. It's a really great way to connect these pieces. So, you know, we started this about 2 years ago, and we've raised over about $50,000 for local charities. I think 35 different breweries at the time, at least that many. About 25 different local charities, all Colorado-specific charities, which has been really awesome.
And yeah, that's incredible. Jesus. And for those who aren't as familiar with Make a Noise, essentially the concept is that you partner, you certain circle around a specific theme each time, and you round up approximately how many breweries participate? About seven breweries participating in each round. Focusing on a specific theme of a charity or a cause or a specific issue, and all of those breweries make the same style of beer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They take the same interpretation of a style, or they take an interpretation of a style and make it their own, and all the proceeds from selling that beer goes to support that specific issue or cause or whatever. And it rotates each time, correct?
Yeah, so generally the only ones that are actually kind of specifically based is like the Earth Day ones. Usually kind of whatever you want to choose as a charity. As long as it, you know, goes to the right things. But this last batch was everyone did their version of a red ale. So, you know, you can get these really cool versions of what these are. You know, we've done, you know, the same Belgian yeast strain and just, you know, freeball it. And it's really cool to see what charities people choose, ranging on all kinds of things, and it's really, really awesome.
That's really incredible. The Making Noise Project, for those who are interested in learning a little bit more about this awesome creation that you all put forth, definitely wanted to bring that up because it's really neat. Yeah, you guys are doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
I want to jump into some of the stories that have been happening around the beer industry. One that actually just broke today was the fact that Eric Salazar, former brewer at New Belgium, has just announced that he's joining Other Half Brewing to start their sour program. For those who aren't as familiar, Eric Salazar was instrumental in helping to develop New Belgium's sour program and keep it running, and now leaving for New York to start the sour program up there with a brewery that's traditionally known for more hazy styles. On the forefront of kind of that New England style IPA trend, now trying to start up a sour program. They haven't actually established a facility for their program yet, but I think Salazar is going to be a huge, huge addition for them.
I think that it's awesome, especially to come from a program like New Belgium and, you know, grow and build what their oak program was and, you know, go into an established brewery and be like, all right, well, let's see what we can do here. I'm excited to see what it turns into. Are they getting a new facility?
They've begun they've expanded their old spot, but they're also looking for kind of a new production facility for this specifically. They haven't zeroed in on a spot just yet.
And those
dudes
are crazy. I mean, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I think it's a huge open market.
Yeah.
I mean,
I completely agree.
New York's beer scene there needs to be more players with it. You know, I kind of blame True for some of these things. I feel like they've really been entering into the New York market. I know they just did a collaboration with Other Half, and I feel like they're like, oh, shit, we could do this here.
Priming those wheels, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I do remember New Belgium actually making a big push out there earlier in the year, so mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know.
They were in on it?
No.
Oh, no. I think New Belgium was pushing their own sour program, but.
And they're like,
You know, it is kind of a serendipitous kind of you know, we were out there and then all of a sudden he's leaving. I don't know if there were any kind of, you know, crossovers while they were out there, but it is kind of a really awesome kind of transition in terms of him moving from this classic, you know, OG brewery to one of the new kind of rising tide breweries that is really making some moves out there. You know, we were out at Other Half probably just about 2 years ago, and it was still very small. But even then, I saw, you know, a couple fooders and I believe like a large punch-in that was out there. But it sounded like they hadn't actually found a use for it at the time, and now they're really starting to dive into it more. It'll be interesting to see how many other breweries really start to branch out. You know, you're seeing that here with Four Noses really investing in their sour program. Yeah, many others that are following in the same footsteps, but East Coast still kind of right on that cusp of doing stuff that's outside of the norm.
Right, and so, when you're cutting your teeth with Peter Brewcart, like, fine. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
Yes, like, prodigal son, yes.
The prodigal son, whatever.
Next up, we also want to touch on big moves coming from Texas. Texas Breweries got a big win in legislation where they've still been one of the slowest kind of markets in terms of beer legislation and their ability to get to market. One of the big kind of hindrances for Texas Breweries was their ability to sell beer to go on site at their breweries. And it sounds like they're finally about to jump that hurdle. Legislation was put forth just earlier this week that announced that their breweries are going to be able to sell up to 2 cases of beer from their tap room to go, starting here very soon. And the weird thing, though, is still that their maximum capacity for on-site sales is 5,000 barrels, I think. Which is still very backwards. I don't understand. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with lobbyists and kind of those, you know, those groups down there kind of not allowing breweries to, you know, based off of like old school laws, but, you know, the kind of open market laws that have occurred out here in Colorado have allowed the beer industry to really thrive. So, you know, it's good to see that things are starting to loosen up a little bit, but still, Far from you know, the ability to do what we're doing out here.
Yeah, far from pure freedom, for sure. And that's 2 cases per person, right?
Yes, per person.
But and granted, I'm not fixing to go to 6 different breweries in one day and buy...
You did just say fixing when you texted me, so.
I adopt a lot of stupid.
I
want to
see somebody get pulled over.
With like 12 cases?
Like 20 cases and they're drunk. And the cop is like radioing in, like, oh my god.
Oh boy, we got the big one.
We're having a party.
Well, in Texas, too.
Step out of the car, please.
Build the wall around the hood.
As long as it's in a transit, it doesn't matter.
See, that's the thing, is like.
You get, what was the case limit?
Two cases.
Two.
Yeah. This is 3. You get 2.
That's the thing, is like, you think in a state like Texas where, you know, it would seem like, you know, people would be open to the idea of beer being freely available for purchase, that there's such strict laws. But yeah, I mean, like, is a cop gonna be
get a ticket for
pulling someone over? Like, what's
the ticket for?
Well, like, possession with intent.
So you bought too much beer.
You better return that right now for half value.
I mean, but seriously, like, is it a possession ticket? What is it?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
That's what I mean.
Intent, yeah.
Intent to distribute.
Intent to distribute.
Absolutely.
Like, you've got 3 cases when you can only have 2.
Cracking down.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we do want to get serious a little bit for a second. One of the big stories that's been dominating headlines for the past few weeks comes from Great Lakes Brewing News. Not to be confused with Great Lakes Brewing Company, it is the Brewing News Network's Great Lakes kind of regional publication. They're... publisher and editor Bill Metzger published this really bizarre post a couple weeks back where really had this very bizarre attempt at satire That really came off as just,
okay,
it
but
wasn't
here's,
actually
no,
satire.
Here's the thing. When you come out and you're like, it was satire, when you're like explaining yourself that it was satire, it wasn't fucking satire.
Yes.
It wasn't.
Let me be clear. It was his excuse
no, he's,
to cover his
trash,
ass for being a sexist
trash.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, no,
and
he
creepy.
Is trash.
Just
yeah.
creepy, too.
Totally creepy. I can't.
But anyway, it just kind of reinforces this prevailing theme of sexism in the beer industry, and it's really unacceptable. This, this kind of, I don't know, entitlement. Would you call it, Calissa?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just complete out of touchness. I mean, this guy for him to think
this fucking guy,
and someone else looked at this before it made publication, and people were like, "Oh, I didn't know." Yeah, I mean, these are not new concepts. I think just finally people are actually starting to pay attention to this. I mean, there's been a lot of sex in the industry for a long time, with a lot of other industries too, but I mean. Just so out of touch, and he's obviously feeling attacked that suddenly people are questioning his kind of rapey behavior, and people are like, oh.
Don't be a creep.
And so he's getting defensive, and it's this whole thing, but these are conversations that we need to be having, you know, especially in alcohol-based industries, you know, we need to make sure that people feel safe.
And I totally agree, and it's one of those things that I think that it's... I think about it a lot, but I don't talk about it a lot, that it's hard for to get into an industry, you and I, and be like, you know, this is, like, I want to be one of the guys, but I'm also, like, not, like, there are also still boundaries. I still have boundaries, but that doesn't make me not, like, not feel included. And it's weird when you read something and they're like, well, but these girls are feeling... like subjected and cornered. It's like, no, just please don't touch me because you feel like you can just like wrap your arms around me. Just don't.
Well, that's the thing, is like his whole kind of narrative or whatever just really felt like, you know, it felt
he
like
was on the defense. He was the victim, defensive
of this
get the fuck out of here.
The Me Too movement or whatever, but it's just like, hey, dude, if you actually were
don't
a decent
a
human being,
right.
then you would have no issues. Like, you would have no problems. You know, at the same time, just a week before, there was an article that talked about Actual Brewing, one of the founders of Actual Brewing in Columbus, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
coincidentally, Fred Lee, who it turns out has been... you know,
being a creep
and having sexual assault cases against him for many, many years. And it's just terrifying that this continues to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we as an industry need to...
Weed him out.
We need to weed him out.
Well, also, we need to talk about it. We weren't for a long
time.
And that's exactly right.
And we're lucky to have as many women in this industry, but, like, when I go to Craft Brewers Conference and I'm like, where are the women at? You know, like Colorado has
less than
1%, a lot more representation, but 100%. Columbus, Ohio, I mean, you know, there's not a lot. I mean, it's probably a lot better now than when I left, but there's not a lot of female brewers.
No. Yeah.
And a lot of people, and there's still plenty of women that are working in these industries, but they don't necessarily feel like they have a position to say anything,
mm-hmm.
and they're not owners, and... if we don't keep talking about it, keep calling these people
that's
out...
that's making
gonna,
noise
yeah.
is what that is. It's like, nah, you know, like, level that playing field, and it's time. Like, we're here, and we're also good at our jobs. We give a shit about what we're doing. And no, you cannot, like, do not marginalize me. No.
To me, the brewing industry has always meant a lot. You know, it's...
100%. That's why we're doing
it. It just means so much more than just the beer. It's always just been this really amazing space. And we have to weed out the people that are using it for their own self-advantage.
100%.
For a variety of reasons.
100%.
You know, whether it's like this... because the thing with the Great Lakes News... He's making it this very sexual thing about this industry. It's like, why is your job this also creepy, like, hunting ground? You know, like, why are these related things?
And even more so, it was like that opening, the opening couple paragraphs had nothing to do with the actual article itself.
Which was what, like, Scotch Ales or something?
Yeah, and he was like, and English Mild.
It was like the most bizarre transition. I was like, really, dude?
And it was satire. I was like, homie, man, you gotta get a new pulse on what's going on.
He's like, well, I didn't get laid last night, so English Mild.
Just told me, yeah.
You know what? And I was like, alright, that's exactly how my lineage is.
And then you hit publish. Like, this is going to go like, great.
Oh, what a winner. Oh, killing it today.
I did it.
The boys are going to love it.
The boys
Serious talk here for a moment. Like, you know, we came into this industry. I think many of us came into this industry because, you know, we were all drawn to this sense of camaraderie and, you know, the craftsmanship behind it and, like, this the sense of, like, working together to accomplish something great. And, you know, it's really what we don't necessarily think about because we're in it for the right reasons is the fact that, you know, there is, I guess, traditionally there has been the stigma around alcohol of getting drunk and, like, you know, doing inappropriate things. But, like, that's never been... For me, that's never been something that, like, was what, like, the driving force behind is, like, oh, so I can get fucked up and I can party and whatever. But, like, it's important for us to realize there are still people out there that are in it for the wrong reasons. And we have, like we said, we have to weed them out. And we have to talk about this because it's important. We need to preserve the reasons why this industry has become what it is today of, like, you know... Or at least what it's working towards becoming, is because, you know, people, we need to find great people who are looking to do great things to support each other. And so these instances are not isolated incidences. They happen. We need people to speak up. We need to talk about these things and make sure people know it's not okay. Yeah, it's not acceptable.
You see something, say something. Like, it's not okay. Like, don't be a creep. Just don't be a creep.
And respect people. I mean, it's
respect
not.
People.
These are obviously more kind of like sexual based harassment, but also just, I mean, a total respect of women in this industry for whatever that means, you know?
Please.
Like, don't assume that your bartender is just your bartender, or maybe your bartender is a badass bitch. Like we're just respect them.
Yeah.
Like, why? It doesn't have to be this thing where, like, well, only the dudes make the beer, you know?
Oh my God,
if I had a nickel
for every single fucking time that I roll in with a keg. And
you know,
like,
I mean, be respectful, don't be creepy, and just
be a good person.
Just be cool.
Just be excellent to each other.
Absolutely. And I mean, we are lucky to be in this industry. I mean, people are dying to get into it. Literally.
100%.
I mean, people are moving all across the country to get into this Regis program.
And that's
now.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, people are dying to get into this industry. Respect them.
And we are so lucky to be in Colorado, and I think that we really are. I mean, it's just interesting, and, you know, God forbid something come out from...
I don't even think I wrote 28 words in college.
I mean, it probably will. I mean, it's going to. I mean,
and you're right.
You know, there's things
right.
going
but, like,
on.
We, I just feel like we are just a little bit more keyed in, but I feel like sometimes we're in a bubble in Colorado, being like, okay, we're a little bit more progressive. There's definitely a little bit more of a female voice, and I mean, I don't know. We work with a ton of badass bitches.
I do think the representation is higher than when I go to some other states. And I'm
but
like,
even, 100%. Even still, you know, we've seen instances where people in this industry here in Colorado have been very inappropriate.
Sure.
And don't realize that they're crossing this boundary and that they're not, you know, they're not treating people equally, and it's not okay. So, you know, I think more and more as these articles kind of come out, we want to make sure that people know that we are an ally. We want to support equality and growth of, you know, both diversity in, you know, in gender, but also in diversity in clearly in race and orientation and everything. We want to make sure that this is an inclusive industry for everybody.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, regardless of creed, color, sexuality, period, likes beer. So why can't everyone be... Why can't everyone like beer? Just stop it.
Call it good there.
Yeah.
We like beer.
We're all, yeah, exactly, done.
We like beer and we like being cool to each other.
Yeah,
we like
stop.
Beer and being cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking stop.
Heart, yeah, that's a full stop right there.
Absolutely.
All right, now, in more not-so-cool news, there's been lots of movement in terms of closures and acquisitions and just shakeups in the industry. Not all of it's bad. But to start off the year, you know, we've had our share of closures already here in Colorado, but in Portland, another hotbed for craft beer, Bridgeport Brewing just recently announced after 35 years, one of the OG breweries out in Portland, that they're closing their doors here at the end of the month. And also earlier before that, Widmer Brothers announced that their pub will be closing. You know, it's interesting that some of these old guard breweries have started to feel the same. You know, we've known for a while that the OGs have taken a little bit of a hit to the market over the past two, three years. But now we're starting to see some closures, which is, I think, the more shocking thing. I think on the opposite end of the spectrum, some of the other OG breweries, you're starting to see breweries like Bell's, New Belgium, Odell, Avery, Surly.
They all closed?
They're all introducing styles, newer styles that Hunter's back at
82%.
To be honest, I had not read that last article until just now.
Cool.
Yeah, right, so that's, I got you up here.
Now he's 55.
I am sorry.
Back to 55%. No, but
because that dude sucks, and I'm catching up here.
I mean,
where were you?
Reading that article.
No, I mean, just where were you the last week and a half that this was happening?
He was working.
I work a lot.
I work a lot. Still can read an article.
Back to the point. I still have none of those breweries that I just mentioned before are closing. Let's be very clear about that. But the point that I was making was that Bell's, New Belgium, Avery, Odell, Great Divide, they've all introduced hazy IPAs, and it's kind of to me it's a point that, you know, if you are part of the old guard, you have to continue to evolve. You have to continue to change.
There's something to be said about adapting to survive.
Exactly. Bobbing and weaving, man. You got to bob and weave. I agree. You've got to freaking zig when they zag, and you've got to figure out what it is
that
consumers are interested in. And even if that means that you are coming out with a hazy IPA, and I think, I mean, like, I would love to have seen Bell's numbers, and I haven't had their hazy, but I know that it's, you know, being released in cans. But seeing Bell's open up this market has been a watershed for me.
With
fresh beer that tastes great, that I know that I can have a two-hearted that is delicious.
2 weeks old.
And is, exactly what I want to drink when I want to drink it.
It's rad
as hell. And like, I think, I mean, but for local breweries, I mean, Odell, Avery, GD, I think that you just kind of have to lean into the trend. By the bullet, lean into the trend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even, you know, we talk about Great Divide as being a classic example of that. You know, they were probably one of the only breweries in Denver that I can remember of, like, being like the staple of Denver when I moved here 9 years ago. You know, at the time, competition was, you know, very scarce. I think we probably went to Great Divide and at the time Renegade probably more than any, probably those were probably the only two places that we went to when we were going to breweries in Denver. Mm-hmm. And now there's over 65 breweries in city limits alone. And Great Divide is feeling it. They just opened up that new facility a couple years ago, and it's like, you know, how do we continue to compete with, you know, breweries that are innovating and trying new things, whereas, you know, bigger breweries like Great Divide can't be as nimble. They don't have the luxury of, you know, oh, next week we're going to brew something completely different.
That's why mid-sized breweries are like...
I mean, you know, we can make any beer that we want, and ultimately, if it fails, it's, you know, 9 to 12 barrels, half barrels. But how, like, we're a 7-barrel brew house, and that's, like, 7 to 15 is the only size I would ever want.
No.
And it's very hard, because some of these, I mean, they do have pilot systems, technically, but...
But they're not a pilot system brewery anymore, and I think that the beauty of a place like this is that you are marketing so much to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? We're going to brew the beers that the people in this 5-mile radius want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's great if people come in and also drink the beers that are coming in from, you know, Five Points or whatever, Littleton, blah, 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 blah. But, like, you know, you get your squad and you get your core, and you know that you can make some money out of here, and you're never trying to outgrow your britches. Distribution is so hard.
It's always been hard,
then
growth, it's particularly hard.
Growth
right
is so hard. And when people are like, you know what, we are 35,000 barrels, but I bet you we can get to 60. Yeah. It's like, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy.
Well, I mean, even, you know, Renegade had plans to expand to, I think, like double their barrel space last year, and they had to pull out of a few markets because they just didn't end up going how they wanted to, and it's difficult. I mean, all of the original beers I drank in Ohio were all Colorado. They were Avery. They were Great Divide. They were Left Hand, and you know,
I think
now
that most of them have pulled out of the market too. Like,
they're at least not making the money they were in that market, because people want to buy fresh and local.
Heard that.
Want to buy Rheingeist.
Rheingeist. They want Rheingeist. They want in Madrid all day.
And we're not even before those breweries were as like good as they were. Even when there was just like a few smatterings of like subpar breweries, and people were like, "Cool, I want this because local." And now those breweries are some of my favorite breweries in the country.
Totally.
So like, why wouldn't you go with that?
Yeah.
You know, how long has some of those things been sitting on that shelf? And there's just like all of these sort of
factors. That you need to be in the right state to be able to date check and make sure that you are drinking fresh.
You have to have a massive sales team for a lot of those sort of execution. And
you can't guarantee that pull. You can't guarantee that if you don't have a rep in market, that any of that is going to get pulled.
Absolutely.
You know, you're getting it dropped on the shelf, but what you sell 2 6-packs in 2 weeks, done.
Now, at the same time, following along the theme of kind of old yard breweries adjusting and correcting to the market, Sierra Nevada acquired Sufferfest as their first big acquisition. What do you guys think about that? For those who aren't familiar, Sufferfest kind of came on the scene marketing towards athletes with their gluten-removed beers. Do you think it's an interesting move? Do you think it makes sense? What are your thoughts, Sammy?
I mean, I just think, I don't think that it's necessary. Like, I think that Sierra Nevada has, I mean, it has a cushion that maybe it doesn't necessarily need to add a brand like this, but, you know, to expand and diversify their portfolio, then fine. You know, if you want a gluten-reduced brand in your portfolio without yourself as a brand brewing gluten-reduced beers, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my jam? No. But fine, do it.
But do you think
fine.
That some of these acquisitions are also some of the nimbleness that we're talking about? So
yeah,
these are massive
exactly.
breweries. You know, I mean, it seems to be working good for Rocks Blues, you know, but they don't have
exactly.
some of these things. So maybe they're also acquiring these small breweries so that they can do some of these more pilot.
I was listening. I was on NPR 2 mornings ago, and they were talking about PepsiCo and how they had just acquired a new friggin' health stupid brand that does fucking granola bars or some shit. And it's like, yeah, you know, you take what you
Fuck
get
that
because
health.
Well, because you know, I think that the drinker is really changing.
Don't drink beer.
Exercise. but the drinker
really,
I think
right,
the
drinker back to 33%.
Oh no, it's so bad for every single bit of you.
Well, similarly, Dogfish
Head
announced they're releasing Slightly Mighty, which is a low calorie IPA.
So I really think that they're playing into the market that in the next 5 years, I think that these Generation Z drinkers
are not dummies,
and these Gen Z drinkers are drinking White Claws, and they're
also,
not.
Session
and
IPAs are fantastic.
Well, session
when
IPAs,
done right.
but we tried session IPAs 3 years ago, maybe in 4 years we can try them again and be
don't
like they're calorie reduced IPAs or some bullshit.
I mean,
but
people
I think,
drink a lot. People want session beers.
Yeah.
I've been pushing for the session movement forever.
I know, but
I
it's still isn't
just starting.
It's
to,
taken a
but
lot
this
longer
new,
than I thought.
This
it would.
New generation of drinkers is not fixing for the
anything that tastes like alcohol.
Anything that tastes like alcohol.
And wants to be
they
low,
want they
low
want
calorie.
They want White Claws, they want ciders, they want gluten reduced beers, they want lagers and pilsners. And so yeah, if you as a brand, if you are so stuck in your brand and you're Sierra Nevada and you've been brewing Sierra Nevada Pale Ale for 30 years, you're not going to all of a sudden be like, "We made a gluten reduced beer," because everyone would be like, "Get the fuck out of here." So instead, they acquired one and they're like, "Oh, here, this is our sister company. They make gluten-reduced beers."
Absolutely. It's kind of like there was, I think here in Colorado specifically, there was a little bit of a disconnect when New Belgium introduced their Fat Tire White.
And glutiny.
But I think, you know, like you were saying, if you can introduce it as like a new brand that you acquired, then it maybe there it helps to. They already have their own base.
Yeah,
you know,
no one's going to attribute it to Sierra Nevada. Sure. It's just in their house.
Absolutely. One last piece of acquisition news. We do have to give a shout out to our sponsor, Stem Ciders, who recently acquired North Carolina Cidery. Big news for them entering the East Coast market. Black Twig Cider House, which will become the Northern Spy. So congratulations to our friends at Stem Ciders.
Stem's been on a mission. You got to respect it.
Yeah, man.
You know,
they're dedicated.
They just celebrated their 5th anniversary, and they're making some big moves in the cider world.
Only 5th?
So. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they do.
I know.
Make
it seems like that spot's been there.
My concept time is I was here.
Yeah. What day is today?
They're reading at least a second grade level.
All right. Well, once again, we want to say a big thank you to Kalissa over here at Gold Spot Brewing for having us over to record episode 58 of the Porchcast. Be sure to come check them out this weekend for all of their anniversary festivities. Kalissa, give us a rundown real quick once again of what to expect from this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll have 18 beers available, 22 with some special kegs. Special releases are the Rum Red Hefeweizen, the Strawberry Brett IPA, Maple Brown, Coconut Porter, and the Pineapple Pale Ale. And food trucks all weekend, luau theme. I'm going to have a pretty gray Hawaiian shirt on the whole time. So.
Already
pre-planned. Yeah, it perfectly coordinates my hat. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm working a lot, so we'll see if I have time to wash it. But
a little breeze will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very tropical deodorant, so it's going to be great.
Tropical deodorant. We're going to make sure that everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
It's
Old Spice. I'll share the specific type with everyone who comes.
That should be the name of one of your beers, Tropical Deodorant.
Yeah. That sounds like nothing I'd want to drink.
I do not want to drink that
at all.
Make
sure it's hazy as shit.
Sounds jockey. Yeah.
With the things that you're trying to do with your hair, I'm going to not listen to you.
Well, once again, folks, thanks for joining us for episode 58 of the Porchcast. Thank you to Kalissa. Thank you to Sam, Sammy, and 58% Hunter.
Oh, come on.
That was a solid 43%.
Maybe 22 for the whole time.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know who you are. I've never met you before.
Be sure to follow us on all of our listening devices. We'll be back next, hopefully very soon.
Our next
episode of the Porchcast. This has been the Porchcast on PorchDrinking.com.
Bye.
Check you later.
Bye.
Later.